Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Well, good morning. We are the last Sunday of the year and excited for the fast coming up that we do every year. This is what the booklet looks like. Encourage you to get one afterwards. And in the booklet, it just has how to fast, why we fast, how to fast, and then it has just a daily guide so that every day that you're fasting, there's things to read and to study together. In here, it has things, a section that talks about things that you're committed for. Here's what you want to be thankful for from the past year, the things that you're seeking God for in the coming year. So it's just a great guide to prepare our hearts for the coming year. In fasting and prayer together and seeking the Lord. And so we encourage you as a small group or with your friends to get together and do this together, to say, what is God speaking to you about? So we can agree together and encourage each other in the things that God is calling us to for 2026. I'm really excited for 2026. 2025 was a busy year. 2025 was, in a lot of ways, a tough year, but a good year. I am so much change in 2025, but we're looking forward to 2026 and the foundations that we've laid heading it towards the coming year. I love the theme for this prayer and fasting this year, the mission of God. And we're going to go ahead and carry that theme out throughout the year. That's going to be our theme for this whole year, is God's mission. And what's our part in it as individuals and as a church, and how are we going about doing it together? I love how he said we're going to be praying for three targets in particular. We're going to be praying for the nations, and we're going to be praying for workers to go to the nations, and we're going to be praying for the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, before you go out and start preaching the gospel and starting churches, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. And so we're going to be looking for just what does that look like in our lives, and praying that in the same way that the Holy Spirit empowered the disciples to go to all the world, that he'll come and empower us. And so we're excited for this year. We're excited for the task at hand. Also in this coming year, it's what's fun is doing it all together. Misery loves company. And so it's fun when we're all fasting together, not just here with your small group, not just with your families, not just with the church, but with our churches around the world doing it together. And if you're not familiar with Every Nation, every 3 years, we gather as a global family. We come together for a leaders' conference, and that's going to, this year, this coming year, it's going to be in Manila, Philippines. They kind of, all the Filipinos are really excited. So we go usually from Asia to America to North America to Africa, and kind of do that round every 3 years. And so 2026, 2023, we were in South Africa. And now 2026 will be in the Philippines. We come together and we seek God together, and we go back over why are we called together? What makes us a movement together? And what is God doing? And so we're excited about the things that God is doing. All right. Well, we're starting off we're ending up this year, and we're starting off next year. Next time we come together on a Sunday, it'll be in 2026. So this is our last Sunday, and we're getting ready. In high school, I ran track. I didn't do a lot of running. I did mostly jumping because I didn't like running too much. So short runs, like, you know, run up to the bar and jump over it, and then lie down on the pad. It's really good. But when you got to it, when you came to a race, right? And when I was a sophomore in high school, was the first time I lived in Guam, very small island, small. High schools, and so it was the first time we'd ever had track and field, a track and field league, and so nobody knew really what they were doing. And so we're all like, just getting together, and I met our coach telling us, now when you get ready to run, here's what you do. You know, before the race, you loosen up, you get to breathe deep so you get the nerves out and then start to focus. And in your head, go over from the start to the end of your race and just envision what's going to happen and prepare yourself. And then tune in to the starter when he's going to get yourself on your mark, get set, ready. And so take your stance. And so you go through all these things in your mind, preparing yourself for the race. And you want to be focused and ready to go when the race begins. And you want to know exactly how you want to run. Sometimes we don't know. If we don't know how we're supposed to run, like I remember the first time that I ran a 400-meter race, I didn't know what that felt like because I hadn't been able to practice. I had gotten a deep cut on my foot, and so I wasn't able to run until that race. And so I got out there and ran and had no idea what it felt like. And so I was winning the race through the first quarter. Was way out in front. And by half of the race, I was still in front, but only by a little bit. By three quarters of the race, I was like half in the middle of the pack. And by the end of the race, I ended up fifth out of six runners. And so it wasn't a great start because I did not understand the race. I didn't know what would be required of me. I was not prepared. I was not focused. I just said, I'm just going to run as fast as I can, and didn't understand how the race would go. And so as coming to 2026, I don't know about you, but 2025 was very different from what I expected. And some of that was good, some of that was difficult. When I look back, I think 2025 was probably one of the more difficult years that I've gone through. I lost my mom in 2025, and that was just a process going through that. And then a lot of travel and just these different things that we went through. And so 2025, when I look back, I think, it had some tough moments, but God used those moments to lay good foundation in my life. Because it's in the moments of the tough times and in the moments of pain and in the moments when we're not prepared for, the things we're not prepared for, those are the moments that we really learn how to trust God. And we start to learn what's really inside of us, where our character is, where our faith and our trust are. And if you're like me, you discover, ooh, I got to grow some. There's some areas of my faith, there's some areas of my character that need to grow. There's some foundations in my life that just need to be deeper and stronger. I need to know God better. And I think that's true for all of us every year, that we want to get to know God better. We want to establish our foundation in Christ. And so as we look for 2026, we're ready, set, go. We're coming to the starting line here. And we want to look at the race ahead. And so I just want to take you through a few highlights, a few things. We're going to look at scripture. We're going to look at some science because I think scripture and science are so much in agreement because nature and the Bible, God wrote both of them. And so they're in agreement. And we're going to look at them and how can we learn from them and prepare our hearts for the year ahead? You ready? Ready? Turn to your neighbor and say, well, we're trying to get ready. I'm trying, All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your Holy Spirit that's here with us. And as we prepare for 2026, Lord, we pray that you would guide us. That, Lord God, you would draw our hearts closer to yours. Lord, you know what's coming up in the coming year. And we ask, Lord God, that you would help us to prepare our hearts for all that you want to do. That, Father, we would be on mission with you, that this year as we look at the mission of God and why we're here on earth and why we've been brought together as a church family, that, Lord God, you would be able to do your work in and through us as the body of Christ. So we consecrate these moments to you now. We pray you speak through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Scripture, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 says, the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. So we want to just say, what do we know of the vision of God? What are the things that we want to grab a hold of so that we can make sure that we understand the race before us? Paul, when he came to the end of his life, this past week, we're reading through 2 Timothy. He said, I've run a good race. I've finished my course. He understood what the course was that he was to run. He understood where the starting line was. He understood where the end was. If you don't know where the starting line is, chances are you're not going to do very well in the race. Because if you're not at the starting line and they take off without you, you're going to have to find your way. I remember the first marathon I ever ran in. My friend and I, we decided we should go to the bathroom before we run. And so we went, found the restrooms, and by the time we got back, the race had already started. Everyone was gone, you know, and so we were at the starting line when the race began. The bad thing about that is, of course, you don't get as good a time. The good thing about it is that nobody passes you. You just pass other people. That's great. You feel good. Oh, I'm passing people. Yay. Nobody's passing me. But we want to say, write the vision, make it plain. What is it that God wants to accomplish in our lives in 2026? What is it that God wants to accomplish in your life in 2026? Well, maybe very different for all of us, but there's a few things that are the same for all of us. Because there's some foundational things that God says, this is my will for everyone. And so we're just going to walk through those foundational things that are the same for all of us, because God puts those in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, so that we all have a good starting point. So we all know where the starting line is, and then we can see the finish line. So for us, we know as a church, we're called to make disciples simply because God says, go into all the world, make disciples. And so we want to put an emphasis on making disciples. And as a church, we have certain ways that we do that. And over this year, we're going to just recommit ourselves to the mission of making disciples. The Great Commission, go to all the world, make disciples, baptizing them. I love that in the past month, we've baptized 6 students. And I love the focus on college students. So in the past month, we baptized 6 college students from all over, from Europe and from Asia and from North America. And I love just seeing these students giving their lives to God and in going into the waters of baptism and really encountering God where with tears and with great joy, seeing God move in their lives. Commit to that. Our prayer is that we see many more. As a church, we always want to focus on the next generation. We realize that the task at hand is larger than any one generation can do. And so we always want to begin to put the vision into the next generation so they can carry on what we've begun. Amen? So we have a big vision. It goes beyond ourselves. 1 Thessalonians, verse 5, verses 16 through 18. Now here's this scripture here lays out for us the will of God. This is the will of God for 2026. It was also the will of God for 2025. And it's going to be the will of God for 2027. And if you can accomplish these things, you'll be well on the way to being a man or woman of God and accomplishing God's purposes for you in your lifetime. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 and 18, it says, always be joyful. 17, never stop praying. 18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So if you belong to Christ Jesus, if you consider yourself a follower of Christ, if you consider yourself a Christian, then this is God's will for you. That you would always be joyful. You'd be cheerful no matter what. That's what it means. You would rejoice always. If you lose the joy, you just rejoice and get more joy in there. Because joy is a choice. Joy is actually not the product of our circumstances. It is the result of our choices. And you can choose joy. And so as we go into 2026, I want to encourage you, choose joy. Turn to your neighbor, encourage them, tell them, choose joy. And if they're not smiling, just say, come on, you know, right now, just practice choosing joy. All right? It's good. Choosing joy. Proverbs, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lives, he said, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. And so joy is not only more fun than sadness, but it's also good for your health. And so I encourage you to practice choosing joy, but also as a church, let's encourage each other to choose joy. Because we will all face circumstances that want to steal our joy, right? And so we need to encourage each other in joy, in learning how to rejoice. And here's the main, here's the key, the number one key in having joy is to remember that God is in your life and to be aware of his presence in your life and to grow in your awareness of who God is and how close he is to us. Because the Bible says that God is close to anyone who calls on his name. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore." In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. And so what we need to do, now here we know that there's a theological truth that God is everywhere. So he's always with us. But what it's talking about here is our awareness of him. Being aware of God, when we are aware of God's presence with us and we understand who he is, then there's joy inside of us. It produces joy in us because when God's on our side, nobody can defeat us. Because God is king of the universe. He's the wisest being in existence. He is the most powerful being in existence. God is, by definition, God, King of kings and Lord of lords. And when we start to understand who he is, and see, that's why this past year we went through our statements of faith, we believe. So we begin to understand who God is, that God is good, that God is all-powerful, that God is love. And when we understand that God is all-wise, all-powerful, always present, never changes, always loving towards us, his desire is always good for us. When we start to understand that, then when we also understand that he is always with us and that he is for us, then it produces joy in our lives. And what we want to do is to train ourselves to go after God's presence. Now we know he's with us, but what that means is to become more and more aware of his presence. Just like we become more and more aware, I always need to become more and more aware of my wife in my life, because sometimes I forget, and then I'm acting like she's not around, and then that doesn't help our relationship. And there's something about that, even like friends that you maybe see every day, just letting them know that you know they're there builds that relationship. They have this common saying now, I see you. And that doesn't mean just physically I can see you, but I understand what's going on. I know what's happening in your life. And see, this is how we need to be towards God, is to come into this awareness of God's presence. So as you go into 2026, here's what I encourage you to do is make being aware of God's presence your number one priority in 2026. That every day when you get up, you say, today is the day that I'm going to be aware of God's presence. Today I'm going to let God know that I see him. Today I'm going to let God know that I'm running after him. I'm going to let God know that I like him. My wife loves when I let her know that I like her, you know? And she's not satisfied that I told her 15 years ago that I love her. She likes hearing that again and again. And I'm going to let God know. And I'm going to remind myself that God loves me and that he's with me. And I'm going to just take time to, sometimes I have to slow down to say, you know, I'm just going to take a moment here and go look for my wife and just let her know that I love her. Find her in the house, you know, find her in the apartment and just take a moment and let her know. I'm going to slow down sometimes and, you know, reach out to my brothers and my sister and say, hey, you know, how you doing? And just let them know that, hey, I'm thinking of you. Scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. We need to decide, make a choice, whose friendship do we want? What relationships do we want to prioritize? Do you want to be God's friend? You're going to have to get rid of some other stuff in your life. You're going to have to get rid of some other distractions. You're going to have to get rid of some other attractions. You're going to have to get rid of some other, perhaps, relationships that go against that relationship with God, that are pulling you away from that relationship with God. So you got to chill. Yeah. Be still and know that I'm God. You're going to have to chop. You're going to have to chop up some stuff out of your life. Make room for God. And you know, if we talk to single guys and single girls, saying to guys, if you want to get married, you're not going to be able to relate to girls the way you used to. You know, you're going to have to chop some of those relationships out of your life. Your wife is not going to want you to be like hanging out with all the other girls while you're married to her. And you can't marry them all. You just got to marry one. You're going to have to say, you know, it was fun, but you know what? I'm getting married, so we're not going to be hanging out so much anymore. And if you want God, you got to choose. And then the basis of all relationships is communication. And so this year, we want to put an emphasis on prayer. The next verse says, never stop praying. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, never stop praying. So you want to grow this relationship with God. God's will for you is never stop praying. Always be full of joy. Always be joyful and never stop praying. Pray all the time. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. If you want to learn to pray all the time, you start the day with prayer. Psalm 5, 3 says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and I watch. Give God the very first part of your day. So Lord, in the morning, you're going to hear my voice. And if you're like me, you know, in recent years, I've been doing my devotions more on my phone. And I keep getting convicted that I got to stop doing that. Because I start into the devotions and then I'm texting and scrolling and, oh, I forgot this thing. And, oh, I got that coming up, you know. And so this year, We bought alarm clocks, so we don't have to use our phones. You know, we're going back to paper, paper Bible, paper journal, and just say, you know, this is spend the first moments of your day with God. You want to build that relationship. Start off your day with God. There's something special about the start of the day, that you give that time to God, that you make sure that you create space in your life. See, there's something that takes place in our hearts and our minds and in our bodies when we sleep. If we sleep. We just had a bunch of college students over for Noche Buena, Christmas Eve party for all the Latinos and Filipinos. And so it's supposed to start at midnight, but we started early at 8 p.m., which is a good thing because we didn't finish. Oh, she didn't finish. 5 a.m., people were still leaving. And 11 of them forgot to leave. They just slept over. So it's kind of going on and on. Because when you sleep, they have what they call deep sleep, or what they call the delta brain waves kick in. And these are important to our lives, because what happens is when you go into deep sleep, into the delta sleep and the delta brain waves, your brain starts to cleanse itself. And all the junk that piles up in your brain starts to get cleansed out. This is chemicals and things that build up there. Your brain actually begins to heal itself. Your body begins to heal itself in those moments. So it's like in that time, there's like a brain detox. And so the bad chemicals that are there start to be flushed out during that time, during delta sleep. And your body begins, it's when your body grows and repairs itself. And so when you're not eating during that time, your digestive system repairs. And your muscles, everything starts to repair itself during that time. So it's a refreshing and a renewal of yourself. In fact, it's not only your physical body, not only your brain, but even your emotions start to heal themselves. And it's during delta sleep that actually, they say that your emotions and your thoughts start to integrate. You start to make your body, just your emotions start naturally to align themselves and find the places where emotions don't match and where your thoughts don't match. And your body, while you're sleeping, your body is actually aligning and integrating itself. And so we often say, well, I'm just going to sleep on it. And when you have a big decision, a lot of times you'll think, well, this is what I should do. But then you sleep on it. When you wake up in the morning, you think, actually, that was a really bad idea. Why? Because while you've been sleeping, your emotions and your thoughts have been aligning themselves. And so your memories start to consolidate and they start to interplay and say they start to remember things and say, well, actually, that doesn't align with your past experience. And it doesn't align itself with future joy. And so these are things, even trauma in your life, when you had trauma, it's in delta sleep. It's during that time that your body starts to, you start to process trauma and you start to heal from trauma. So if you're not sleeping and you don't have good sleep patterns, then you have a hard time and it leaves you with less resiliency, less ability to handle trauma, less good health. It's also the time we say you actually because of all the healing that's taking place in you, it actually begins to set yourself up to become more spiritually aware. You become more open to spiritual things, to God speaking to you. And so these are all things that happen during the night as you're sleeping in that delta sleep state. And so when you come out of that, if the first thing you're doing is scrolling through social media and stuff, you start to negate all that your body has been working towards. All the healing that started to happen, you start to now fill it up with other voices and other junk that comes into your life. Because what you're supposed to do is you go from delta state of sleep to what they call the theta state of sleep. And that's like when you're that liminal space between sleep and waking up. And in that moment, it also is a time when you're actually your body's supposed to go into deep relaxation. And if you don't do that well, then what happens is it starts to limit your creativity. It's actually in those moments of just waking up that actually creativity begins to stir. If you'll take the time to just not fill your mind with a bunch of noise. And you just say, okay, I'm just going to take this time to think. I'm going to take this time to be still and to process. And then all the stuff that was taking place during the delta sleep and the theta sleep, now in that theta state, you can begin to, in a relaxed moment, begin to make sense of all of that. And creativity begins to happen in those times. Emotional processing. Memory and learning happens during that time. Relaxation and restoration happen during that time, during the theta time. And then when you awake, those first moments when you're actually fully awake, you start to go into your normal alpha moment. And this is where, if you come into that moment relaxed, if you come into that moment focused, then what it produces in you is better focus. It produces in you the ability to handle stress and anxiety better. In that moment, it begins to improve your learning and your memory. And so if you're not taking the time to process through these different moments in your life, you're missing out on how God created you to be better and improve. And so in those moments, the first thing you want to do when you wake up in the morning is just give that time to God and just say, okay, God, because he's the author of creativity. He's the author of rest. When God created us on the sixth day, we went right into the Sabbath rest because we're created for that. And that's what he wants to do in our lives. God is Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of those rest moments in our lives. This is actually our worship to him. We give him the first part of the day and we say, God, you determine my focus for today. You get the best part of my day. I want to give my heart my mind, my emotions to you. And you, I trust you to rework who I am and to restore me and renew me. But if we give that time to social media, either give that time to our calendar, then they become our God. They become the thing that dominates our lives. They become the desire of our hearts. Instead of desiring God, we start to desire more social media. See, you develop your appetites by what you consume. And so I encourage you, you know, whether you're an early riser or a late riser, whatever your sleep patterns are, give God the first time of your day. And I can remember when I was single, you know, the first 2 hours of my day were just God, me and God, so good, you know. And I got married, and now I have to get back to that. Praise God. They say that Korean pastors pray 3 hours a day, and that American pastors pray 15 minutes a day. And I'm somewhere in between that. So anyway, so that's just understanding how God made us. And that aligns with his word, and it aligns with the principles of his word, that God is Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is made for him. The first part of our day, we give to God. All day long, we give to God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says this: pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And so we're to be people of prayer. So this year, we're committing ourselves to more prayer. So that's why every month, the first Friday of every month, we gather together for worship and prayer. And sometimes it's hard, because Fridays are important days, and busy days. But worship is always sacrificed. In fact, the very first time that worship is used in the Bible, it's when Abraham, God said to Abraham, go and sacrifice your son Isaac. And when he was going to take him up, they said, hey, where are you going? I'm going to worship. Because sacrifice and worship always go together. And so I want to encourage you, if now's a good time to pull out your phones and put in first Friday of every month, 12 times, we're going to just do worship. We're going to put God first. We just want to prioritize that. Get in prayer, praying at all times, on every occasion. It's this constant communication. See prayer, it's just being with God. It doesn't mean that we're talking all the time to God, but we're with him all the time, and we're aware of his presence. Sometimes the most fun times is just walking around the town with my wife. Just, we're not talking, we're just walking. But when we have, it's fun when we're aware of each other. If I'm not aware of her, it's not as much fun. If I'm just kind of wandering off by myself, she's like, hey, where'd you go? But when we're talking about stuff, when we're just doing stuff together, even whether it's face-to-face time or shoulder-to-shoulder time, you know, watching a show together. Although it bothers me when she talks to me during the show. Well, what's happening there? What's going on? You say, what about that? Maybe those times we have to figure out a different way. But see, God, prayer is presence. It's not performance. It's not like, okay, I got to pray. I got to do my prayers. A prayer is like being with God. And just talking as things come up. Just like when you're with a friend. You, as thoughts come, you start conversing about them. That's what it's like to pray, remain in constant connection with God. And then get into the Word. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and will be done for you. And so we want to get into the Word. And so this year, last year we did the read through the Bible in a year. And not many of us made it through. So we're gonna lower the bar so everybody can play, you know. Now, for those of you who love reading through the Bible, you know, want to do it every year, great. You can read your 4 or 5 chapters a day and make it through the whole Bible in the year. But for those who don't, what we're doing is we're going to do just one verse a day. And so every day we'll read the scripture together. and do that as a church. And so we're going to do the YouVersion. So download YouVersion on your phone, and then do this reading, the daily reading. And, but we're going to encourage you to jump in on that. So we'll all read the same verse, and then just throw whatever thoughts you might have. We'll throw them into a line chat together. All right, and then the last one is actually the YouVersion for our consecration week. And you'll notice that it starts on Sunday, because so before you fast, there's the day before you begin. We begin. There's like an introduction that helps you prepare for the fast. So there's a devotional there, and then the 5 days that we're fasting each day, there's a devotional guide, and then one after that. Okay. So last thing, thank God no matter what. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. No matter what happens, give God thanks in all circumstances. There's something powerful. We've done sermons on thanksgiving and gratitude and how powerful that is and how the scripture commands us like this to always give thanks. That should be just a lifestyle. And this is God's will for us, that we would pray without ceasing. We would always rejoice. And we would always thank God. So if you want to know God's will for you in the coming year, be happy. Give thanks and pray. That's God's will for us. It's not easy. I'm not always joyful. I don't always give thanks. It's so easy to get into complaint. But you know what complaining does? It rewires your brain to begin to look for negative things. So if you're a person who complains all the time, your brain actually, you have this thing called neuroplasticity, where your brain actually shifts in how it functions. And so if you're always complaining and always looking for the negatives and critical of things and people, and you know, complain about the government and complain about your job, then what that is you're doing is you're actually rewiring your brain to look for the negative. And what that does, it affects all different aspects of your life. It affects your health, because it puts you, negative thoughts, complaining actually puts you into a place of stress and anxiety, because your body starts to think, oh, all these negative things are going to happen. And it kicks in the fight or flight mode, and so you're getting all this, your adrenaline starting to run, right? And so what that does is it puts stress on you, and it lowers your ability to fight infections and sicknesses. And so it physically affects you. And this is what the Bible says, that we shouldn't complain. In fact, the Bible says that a whole generation of God's people were wiped out when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, because they grumbled and complained. And so science and God agree together. Stop grumbling and complaining. No wine with that cheese. Anyway, okay. Had to throw a dad joke in there somewhere. But, you know, just if focusing on the negative, it not only wrecks your health, it wrecks the mood. You ever been around someone who just complains all the time? It's like, it's my favorite person to invite to a party. Why are you serving this food? That's too hot. That's too cold. Too salty. You know, I had such a bad day today. It was so bad. Oh, so and so was so bad. They were so mean. Did you hear what they said? You know, I'm just like, okay. You know, we're just, because it's what it does to us. It negatively begins to affect us. It shifts all the blood from, instead of going to the part of your brain that does the your prefrontal cortex, which does all the creativity and the problem solving, it starts going to the back where all the drama is and all the fight or flight. And so all your blood's going back there. And that's what you're training your brain to do, to look for fight or flight, to look for negativity, to look for drama. Yeah. And if you like that, great. But man, that's not a fun way to live. And so what you want to do is start to shift that this year. And how do you start shifting it? Even if you start feeling negative, you just say, man, I'm feeling negative. How can I change this? See, all of a sudden now you're giving your brain something to focus on instead of the negativity. You're starting to focus on, oh, okay, how can I change that? And your brain loves that. So you start just giving your brain things to do. That we in the church in New York, we had this woman come in, Shanti Felden, and she wrote this book called the Kindness Challenge. And she did this thing where you take 30 days, And the person that you really struggle with in your life, you say, for 30 days, I'm only going to think kind thoughts and say kind things to them. And you start to, that's a challenge, right? So you, who bothers you the most? Who's the person who causes the most complaint and negativity in your life? And sometimes it's ourselves. We gotta say kind things to ourselves. Get up in the morning and say, ah, you look awake, sort of. You're just trying to find good things to say. That's good. You have two shoes on. That's good. You know, it's good. You challenge yourself, and it starts to cause your brain, instead of looking for things to complain about, you start actually looking for the positive. And it begins to shift your health. It shifts your emotions. The Bible says that we as Christians should be the most thankful people. And this is in every situation, we're to give thanks and look for the positive. That's why Jesus, the Bible says, when he went to the cross, he said, for the joy set before he endured the cross. You're looking for the joy. And there was a lot of pain for him to look through. But don't waste your pain. Trust God in your pain. See, this is the time when you start to make the decisions that will carry you through the coming year. And one of the great commitments is to say, you know, when pain comes into my life, I'm going to trust God. Because what normally happens is when pain comes, we lose our trust in God. We start fighting for ourselves. We start figuring out how I'm gonna do this myself. And we start rejecting God. We start breaking off friendships. We start breaking off commitments in our lives. And so what God wants us to do is to trust him through the pain, to trust him through the moments of disappointment. Because that's what Jesus did. And that's how he calls us to live. And this is why we do communion. And this is my segue into finishing up with communion. The Bible says we do communion to remember Jesus going to the cross. And when Jesus went to the cross, he did it for the joy set before him. The joy of what? The joy of us being reconciled into relationship with him. And so what we're looking for this year is, how do I build my relationship with God, and how do I build my relationship with God's people? Through the moments of pain, through the moments of disappointment, because that's what it means to follow Jesus, because that's what he did. So would you take the bread? The Bible says that Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. In the moment of his greatest betrayal, Jesus gave thanks. So when the Bible commands us to thank God in all situations, Jesus has already showed us the way. He's already lived that out for us. And so by doing this, we're just following in his footsteps. And actually, that's what it means to be a Christian, is to come and follow him. And so would you just bow your heads with me for a moment? And just think through the moments or the places in your life where there's disappointment. Think through the places in your life where there's pain. Places where there's stress and anxiety. The Bible says that Jesus, when he faced the cross, he was under so much stress that blood came out with his sweat. So Father, we bring these moments to you. We bring you our moments of pain, our moments of anxiety. And we're so thankful for the broken body of Jesus by which we can be made whole. And so Lord, bless the bread now as we eat it. In Jesus' name, let's eat the bread. Scripture goes on to say that in the same way Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And that's Jesus' promise to walk with us whatever we face, whatever we go through, he'll be there with us. And because he's there, he is our source of joy. So Jesus, we thank you for your blood. The blood that cleanses us, that renews our relationship with you, that brings us back into that place of awareness of your presence with us. That because of the blood, Lord, you soften our hearts to know how much you love us. So we pray, Lord God, that you would bless the cup now. In Jesus' name, let's all partake together. Would you stand with me? Our prayer for you is that this week you would experience the joy of knowing God's presence with you throughout the week. That awareness of God being there would overtake the difficulties, the anxieties, the pain and disappointment that so often comes from the circumstances that we walk through. That you would experience that fullness of joy that comes from the presence of God. And that as we prepare for 2026, you would begin to grab a hold of the practices that will help you to always be joyful, to always choose joy, that you'd learn to always pray and always give thanks. All right, the Lord bless you, and the presence of God go with you, bring you joy and peace. Happy New Year coming up. Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.